गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवरधारी गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवरधारी यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे हरे राम राम हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय वो विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रभुराजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की इस्कॉन फाउंडराचार्य बीबीटी फाउंडराचार्य डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रभुराजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य हरदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की श्री रूप सनातन भट्ट रघुनाथ श्री जीव गोपाल भट्ट दास रघुनाथ षड़ गोस्वामी प्रभुगण की श्री श्री राधा कुंज बिहारी की श्री श्री गौर निताय की श्री प्रभुपाद की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज All glories to assemble devotees. All glories to assemble devotees. All glories, all glories. Advaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो Hare Krishna. So we are going to the third part of the seminar, Study, Devotion and Taste. So this is a little advanced platform for us because we are all endeavoring for Nishtha platform. But after Nishtha comes Ruchi, Taste. So today's seminar is called Awakening Taste Seminar. So, this is the title actually, Awakening of Taste. So, because it is Awakening of Taste means what is taste in Sanskrit? Ruchi, yeah. So, it's advanced stage it is. Then you may wonder, then why are we learning if it is so advanced? Because we just want to be inspired to hear the stages which will come in future. Because when I went through Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani and studied all these different sections, one thing became very clear. We all can know where we are and where we need to go. For example, if somebody has spent 20, 30 years in the movement, we generally expect that you are certainly above Nishtha, you can expect to be in Ruchi or Asakti. But actually you will see the very specific criteria which Maharaj has brought out based on Madhurya Kadambani, Bhajana Rahasya, many other books. For example, we can avoid being ourselves an illusion of being in Nishtha by knowing some of the stage. For example, in Nishtha stage, if one has come, our taste would have increased so much for chanting that one will go from 16 rounds to 32 rounds to 64 rounds and even more on an average day. As soon as they get some time, they will immediately take the bead bag and chant according to the spiritual literature. They will, not only that, they will set up a minimum also, like 25 rounds or 32 rounds or 48 rounds or 64 rounds. So, and they will stick to it. And they will align all the services around it in such a way that both the services also go and the chanting also goes. So, for example, when you are in LKG, how much were you expected to study? Mostly alphabets, correct? No? Then when you go to UKG, maybe small words, PUT, put, BUT, but, you may say like that. But they may say, no, BUT is bad. So slowly you are introduced with the different pronunciations, isn't it? And then when you go to first standard, second standard and all, then you learn to frame sentences. Then you learn stories and later on you learn comprehension, how to assimilate a story or something, and then you, when you go to higher classes, then poems. Of course, earlier you may sing rhymes and all, but later on you learn how to write even poetry, isn't it? You study about simile, metaphor, more detailed understanding. Then when one crosses 10th standard, 12th standard and all, then one may study even Shakespeare, Charles Dickens, Oliver Goldsmith and Emerson and Thoreau and all these people. So one may study more deeper English literature and all, one may study in English. I am talking about English. So in this way, then when one, same with mathematics also, correct, no? So over the years, our capacity to grasp the subject, especially vast subject and deeper subject, correct, no? It increases or reduces? Supposed to increase. Same way, the spiritual life is epitomized by the holy name. Most vital thing, which is non-different from Krishna. What is our attitude towards the holy name? So, if we are remaining in the LKG platform, even after many years, that means we cannot artificially assume that I have developed a very high taste. We may say, I have a lot of taste for service. I have a lot of taste for preaching. It can be fruitive also. What is the meaning of fruitive action? Fruitive action means there are many fruits attached to certain services. For example, preaching increases our popularity. For example, the services give us a thrill of being a workaholic. Actually, some people, their bodies and minds are wired for workaholism. They have hands and legs itching for some activity. Just like the monkeys wanted to build a Setu Bandha, and Lord Ram could have easily told them, I don't need any help from you, I can just I can block some artery of Ravana, and I can cause a heart attack and finish him. But Ram understood they need activity. So therefore Lord Ram gave them activity of making the Setu Bandha. Similarly, we also have activity to do. Whenever morning to night, we can fill it up with to-do list, various things we want to do, we do it. Then it appears that we like being busy. At least at the end of the day, you look back, I didn't waste my time today. I did something substantial, tangible. So activity also gives us some satisfaction. Otherwise, like when you're working in a company also, workaholism gives satisfaction to certain managers. Similarly, in bhakti also we can fill up our day with activity, or we may do preaching and everything. So, but is my taste really increasing in spiritual life, or am I stagnated, or am I stuck, I'm not going ahead? So one should ask such questions to oneself. So he says in the stage of nishtha onwards, one has to advance to the stage of ruchi. Actually, nishtha means 16 rounds you would never compromise. Even if it is night, 12 o'clock, you will complete it at any cost. So you are very fixed up in that, because Prabhupada has told the minimum 16 rounds. So that is also a sign of steadiness. But in steadiness also, if one is being steady, then from there one will progress to higher stages of steadiness, which will eventually lead one to ruchi. Which means in the early stage of steadiness, our conviction is what? I will never compromise on 16 rounds. Even if I am extremely tired, all day it was Janmashtami day or something, I was very busy, I cannot leave around for the next day. So I have to complete it. So that is the early stage of steadiness. But as you remain steady for a period of time, because of that sincerity, steadiness, commitment, dedication, eventually the eagerness to increase the rounds count also increases. Just like, for example, morning generally when we serve prasad, people come and take the plate of prasad. After that, whichever item was little special, you all know what is quote-unquote special, correct? No? Some items are extra special on a particular day, because the cooks make sometimes in a certain particular way. It need not necessarily always be sweet only. Even sometimes sabjis are very nicely made someday. Some items are made very nice. So people come for a second round to check, is it more available? Sometimes it gets over also. Correct, no? That means, what is the proof that we have a taste for a particular item? You will come for it. You won't mind getting up and walking away your way to go to the front and check whether some item is still is available. Now we are chanting. After chanting, are you looking for where is my feedback? Let me chant some more rounds today. In case we feel so, that means we are developing. That is it. And if you are not looking for the bead bag, you know, morning once done, you take it and put it, hang it, you know, you put it, my Lord, till tomorrow I don't have to touch it, you know, and I don't have to bother about this bead bag till tomorrow. So then that means the taste is not developing. That means we have not yet become rock steady. Yeah, we may be trying to come to study. There may be some more problems. And what are those problems? We discussed in the previous classes also. So, see, Dushkrutota, Sukrutota, Apradota, Bhaktiuta. Out of these four, Sukrutota comes because of tendency for social service, because of tendency for being, doing mundane piety. These kind of things produces Sukrutota. Not a very dangerous one, for a person who has not yet crossed Anartanavritti. Actually, when a person comes to Anartanavritti and Nishtha, the Sukrutota, Dushkrutota and all will be washed off. It will go. He will come to Nishtha. When one comes to Nishtha stage, this. And Dushkrutota means, you know, due to those, you know that Maya, what is that? Maya, Vagdasya, Jeevasya, Gneyo, Anarthas, Chaturvidaha, Hriddaurbalyam, Chaparado, Asatrishna, Tatpavibramaha. So, Hriddaurbalyam, Asat Trishna, Tattva Vibhama, these are all very strong anarthas. Like Hriddaurbalyam means weakness of heart. What is the weakness of heart? You know, like mental attachments, desire for fame, envy, you know, and hankering for popularity and all that. That is Asat Trishna, that is Hriddaurbalyam. Asat Trishna means hankering for earthly and heavenly pleasures, hankering for having some control, having some position and power, influence. So all these things come from Asat Trishna. Asat Trishna also includes hankering for the opposite sex and hankering for wealth. Asat Trishna means thirst for material things, isn't it? So Hridor Balyam cha aparado Asat Trishna. Tattva Vibhrama means not clearly understanding what is the difference between body and soul, And what is the difference between soul and super soul? So not having enough attention on these things. That is Tattva Vibhrama, we call it. So that is kind of remaining stuck in bodily consciousness. Yasya Atma Buddhir Kunapetri Dhatuke Swadhi Kalatra Adshibhoma Ijjadi Viseno Yattirtha Buddhi Salilena Karhichin Janeshu Abhigneshu Saiva Gokarah. So identifying oneself with the body and identifying the bodily relatives connected to the body to be one's own, identifying with the place of birth, the land in which one is born, identifying with one's possessions and positions, and visiting holy places only for sightseeing and not for spiritual advancement. All these things are bodily consciousness, correct? No? So in this way, these kind of anarthas actually dominate the heart before nishtha. So they have to be cleared by chanting. So these are all actual, and then the fourth one I didn't tell about it because it's aparadha. You have to put it in a special category. Actually, we have two problems, sins and offenses. Out of that, sins are on the material platform. Offenses are on the spiritual platform. So therefore, that is more serious. Like we say, dhuli lep and vajra lep, we call it. So therefore, up to the stage of nishtha, the sins can be cleared. And aparadhas continue. They don't get cleared very easily. And then beyond nishtha onwards, if one has to grow further, nishtha to ruchi and asakti and prem, in that stage aparadhas can pose a serious problem in our spiritual life. And it is the aparadhas which stop us from getting taste. There is no other reason given in Shastra. This is the main thing. You can say that, Prabhu, I didn't have a good night's sleep yesterday. I got late. I only got 4 hours sleep. Some of the devotees have a problem with sleep. They don't get a continued 6 hours sleep. They may get only 4 hours sleep. Or somebody may say, today no clearing in the morning. You know, stomach is heavy, some people say. And some people may say that, I have some disease in the body. There could be many number of reasons we can say. But actually Shastra says that one observation we all will make in our life, that when it comes to something which you like very strongly, all other things go to background. For example, somebody may say, Prabhu, today I am sick, so I am not able to come for the morning program. So I am little feverish. But then when prasadam time comes, people are attentive. Correct, no? They will call the health department devotees, Prabhuji, I am not coming to prasadam hall today, I am sick. Can you bring my prasad? Whatever prasad, health prasad or whatever is made and brought. So we can see that because we like prasad, we don't compromise even when you are sick. Similarly, spiritual life is also like that. Even when you are sick, your mind will say that, okay, I am sick, how does it matter? I will cover myself with a blanket, I want to take darshan of the Lord. At least I can watch the devotees dancing, doing kirtan. Just like His Holiness Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj and our Prabhupada. They both were sitting on a rickshaw, and then Harinam Sankirtan, young brahmacharis were jumping and dancing, athletic dance, powerful dancing they were doing, roaring kirtan. Practically the morning when they went in the street, but they could not dance because they are very old. And he had a knee problem also, Maharaj. So they both were sitting, Prabhupada and Bhakti Krishna Maharaj, God brothers. They sat in the rickshaw and they were going and they were watching the Harinam Sankirtan. What does this show? That they are leaving the mata and going with the Harinam in a rickshaw. They couldn't get down because of the health issues and old age. But it shows that, body is not strong, but the heart is longing to see the Harinam Sankirtan. We say, Mahaprabho Kirtan Nritya Gita Vaditra Madhyan Manasora Sena Romanchakam Pashrutaranga Bhaju Vande Guru Shri Charanar. So he is very longing to see the Sankirtan of Lord Chaitanya's party, isn't it? So the heart is longing, and that is the taste, correct? No? That is the meaning of the taste. That's a spiritual taste. Just like we have material taste for prasad and other items. Prasad is one of the tastes, and we also have a taste for becoming a well-known devotee and a popular devotee. We have a taste for appreciation from other people. gratitude from other people. If somebody comes and gives you a gift on a birthday, some devotees expect, anybody is bringing any gifts for me today, you know. So we get a taste in material things, and advanced devotees beyond Nishtha, they get a taste in such spiritual things. So we can easily understand that actually we can't say you have no spiritual taste, you are completely dead, you can't say that either. Why? For example, we have at least got sufficient taste to say that I will continue my 16 rounds till my last breath, I don't want to give up. How many of you feel like that? Right now, yeah, at least 16 rounds, if not more, isn't it? This I cannot give up, I have taken to it. Similarly, no, we will never want to touch meat again, even if somebody was a meat eater before. And one will not gamble, one will not do illicit sex, one will not do intoxication. So, following the four regs and chanting 16 rounds, which we are following now, we will want to follow for the rest of the life. And we will not want to give up, at least. That means, till now, whatever chanting we have done, it has brought us to this level of conviction in spiritual life. This we are determined. And we also want to serve Guru and Krishna, and we want to be with devotees. No, we don't want to ruin our human form of life. At least that much conviction we have got. Which is certainly a sign of advancement also. Now some of you may feel, in my early days I had such a taste and thrill, dynamism. Why after 5 years or 10 years I don't feel the same way? Probably instead of growing up I have come down, you may think. Which is not the case. Why? Because the early day thrill is like utsahamayi. It's not actually utsaha. It is very superficial. Like you can see this calf which is newly born, how it will jump, you have seen that? You know, sometimes you release a calf from the barn. It will lift its tail and jump a little extra jump. Because now you remove the rope, it will jump everywhere. It wants to show everybody that I am free now. Have a lot of jump. Similarly, in the early day, we may have some enthusiasm. And that enthusiasm appears that a devotee has become very advanced, it looks like that. But, Shishrada Kunjibhari ki, Shishigao Nikai ki. So, it looks like that. But actually, we have to wait and watch how long that enthusiasm goes. But in case somebody is continuing for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 14 years, 20 years, and not only they are just hanging around in the movement for many long years, but they are also participating in all the activities. They are enthusiastic in Shravanam and Kirtanam, and they are enthusiastic in Seva. They are enthusiastic in associating with devotees. They are enthusiastic in devotional activities, staying in the movement. Simply counting number of years is not enough. If one is not, like you have seen, some people may be active at one time and then after some time they may be initiated but they may not be seen much. They may be, once in a blue moon you may see them. Then it is no great in just having number of years. There's another behavior you see. Some people come, they show up for some months, they go back again. And 3-4 months you don't see them. Again they come, do some activity and they go. Sporadic bhakti will not do, or completely some people are dead, you don't see them at all. If you call, they will say, I am coming, they will not come to temple. So either getting completely lost or sporadically coming and going, these are not sign of steadiness in devotional service. So if you call somebody a steady devotee, that means, you know, that was there, no? Tannamarupa charitadi sukirtana no smrityo kramena rasana manasi niyojya tishthan bhajeta danuragi jananugami kalam nayeda kilamity upadesha saram. This is the saram of upadesh, that one should develop a very strong adherence to nama rupa guna lila of the Lord, situating oneself in a abode like temple. This kind of temple purpose is in Vaikuntha. So we should place ourselves in the Sangha of devotees, in the place where the Lord's deity form is present, where you get prasadam, where you get charanamrita, where you can worship the Lord, and every day periodically properly bow down to Lord and circumambulate. All these things you can do. And one should do it not one day today, and one shouldn't say that I have done for 5 years, 10 years. No. But till last breath one should do. That means the study is at least has shown the gross steadiness in spiritual life. So therefore we studied about, I'll quickly show you the revision of what we did till now. So this is primary and secondary characteristics we were saying. So first we did the shaky to steady seminar, which led us to the removal of unwanted habits. And now I recollected some part of that also. And then steady devotion and taste we are doing now, currently. And then Anishtita Bhajana Kriya is not very satisfying because of Sukrutota, Duskrutota, Aparadota and all these things, Bhakti Yuta. So because of those anarthas, you know, just like sweet rice mixed with sand, it's not very relishable. It's like that. It's painful, Anishtita Bhajana Kriya. Not satisfying. But still you hang around because you have some devotee encouraging you, Guru's order is there, so you continue. And then mode of goodness if we cultivate, even before the Nishtha stage, it is very valuable for us to experience, you know, peace and happiness, and interactions with others could be very conducive, very congenial, mode of goodness. And then in that state of steadiness, old obstacles do not influence devotees' behavior. That's a good news for us. Once a person has come to steadiness, Sukrutota Dushkrutota. For example, in Bhagavatam, in one place it is said, when you are between 15 to 50, 15 to 50 is the age where the body has a lot of energy. So the allurements of the senses come like a storm. Like when a storm comes, you have to see how deep-rooted a tree is. If the tree is not deep-rooted, what will happen in the storm? It will be knocked down. You can see that. So between 15 to 50, many people fall prey to sinful activities. And sometimes the bhakti even can get uprooted because of getting carried away by sinful activities. People get lost also sometimes. But in the Bhagavatam, in one verse it says that after 50, gradually the raging senses become calm. And then, for example, even if you want to eat a big plate of food, you can't eat like that. Even if one wants to chase after a woman, nobody will want to look at him. All the tooth are gone, who will see him? Isn't it? So gradually one will find that these two top attractions for eating and sex life, other things are subordinate to these two, needless to mention. So after 50, 55 and one goes, you know, those things subside. But instead of whichever chase one was doing with these two senses before, one should completely take that energy and direct it towards the Lord. Therefore vanaprastha is kept. At that age, beyond 50. Therefore it is kept. So therefore, if one comes to Nishtha stage, the old obstacles don't bother, means what? Those temptations and everything, even in their presence, there is nothing much for a practicing devotee to do. For example, some of you might have been eating meat before coming to Krishna consciousness. Now meat is no more a temptation for you. Isn't it? Similarly, some people might have been gambling before or drinking liquor before. Now, once you practice for many years and become a steady devotee, they don't attract you anymore. The obstacles gradually go away. But that doesn't mean they have completely gone. We saw last time that even in Nishtha stage, suddenly the old vasanas may attack back a devotee at the least expected moment, especially the attraction for the opposite sex. Out of the four, Prabhupada mentions that first always. Whenever he talks about four rings, he will say illicit sex, then he will say intoxication, then he will say meat eating and gambling, like that he will say. So these elements will come and go. But they don't pose a serious problem. So symptoms of one practicing devotion service in steadiness. He says these are some of the symptoms. Most of the conquest is over. With unruly mind. Mind can't pose too much problem after steadiness. Iness and minus goes away. Attachment to bodily paraphernalia will be gone. Okay. And in unsteady to steady means mind's absorption will increase in spiritual things. When symptoms of steadiness manifest, you know, devotees chanting, hearing and remembering, all these things will increase, which will also proportionately reflect as humility, mercifulness and tolerance. They will also manifest in a devotee. And last point, you can read, last point.
From such teachings, we can deduce that steadiness appears first in service done with the body, then in one's words, and finally in the mind. This is also the opinion of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur.
Yeah. First in the body means, that means, you know, there are people who do rock steady service for day after day, month after month, year after year. They may be doing for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years also. Rock steady service without any break in service. Like we say, apratihata, we say, no? So that is the first step we should see in steadiness. Then higher than that steadiness is, not only you do steady service, your speech also becomes steady. We don't speak, like when some people are put in crisis situations, some bad words come out of their mouth when they are put in crisis situations. Or when they are put in crisis situations, they become extremely selfish. Just like you sometimes hear the story of monkeys. If two monkeys are there, if water level is increasing in the teepee, you know, increase, then one monkey will put the other monkey down and climb on his head and want to jump out. Otherwise, he's good friends. Similarly, you find that even after becoming devotees also, sometimes one may be a good friend, you can always share and do everything, but when it comes to something missing yourself, then one may become selfish. One can become extremely selfish. So in this way, we can see that then one's speech will become very coarse and very rough. So, like we heard about this Bagh Bazaar example, where devotees are fighting for the room. I will use this room, you use that. Prabhuji, that room is very small, I want a bigger room. No, that is enough for you. You are a younger devotee, I am saying, I want a bigger room. This kind of, you know, tug of war. So people who were at one time very balanced and appeared like very elevated devotees, when they are put into crisis, all kinds of bad colors come out in speech. But if one has conquered the speech also, one is very polite and well-behaved. In my early days, I remember, His Holiness Bhaktisand Maharaj's name was Devamrit Prabhu. So I was in touch with him probably about four or five months. I had gone to the ashram. And Maharaj told me that I am going to prepare for a lecture. Just behind the ashram there is one loft where he would go and prepare. And he told me that you know, if somebody comes to me, meet me, any guest, you know, so they need not meet me. Because I am going to prepare for the lecture. So you don't have to tell them. I will go and prepare, and 1 hour I will prepare and then I will come back. Because after that Maharaj has to give a lecture in the temple. So one guest came, one little elderly man, 60 years or something like that. So he asked me, I said, Maharaj has gone to prepare lecture. Prabhuji has gone to prepare lecture. So he didn't want to be disturbed. So you can meet him after the class. He said, no, I will just meet him for 2 minutes. Then he went and he climbed up. And he took all that time of Maharaj. And those days he was Brahmachari, Maharaj. So, until 5 minutes before the lecture, he didn't leave him. Some people hold you like a, you know, very strongly, you know, they don't leave you very easily. They say 2 minutes and they'll take all your time, the people like that. So Maharaj came down, he was Prabhu. Then this fellow went away after that, knowing that he was going for lecture. He didn't attend lecture, he just wanted to, you know, exploit his time, and then he went out. So he came to me and said, he asked, did that fellow meet you? He asked me. I said, yes, Maharaj. I said, so you told him I am in the loft? I said, you are in the loft, but not, I told him not to disturb. Why did you tell him I am in the loft? I was like shocked. But you told me that you will be in the loft, therefore I told him you are in the loft. And I told him, and I thought if I tell him not to disturb, then generally in the outside world people respect these words, correct, no? See, if you tell a person, see, Maharaj is taking prasad, please don't disturb. Outside people take it very seriously, correct, no? Oh, during prasad, doctor told him not to talk, so he will not disturb. What do devotees do generally? That is all right, he doesn't have to talk, I will talk. They push through and come, no? So Maharaj said, I told you not to tell him, why did you tell me? So I got a little shocked. So he saw that I was very shocked. So then seeing that I am shocked, he got shocked. Who? Maharaj. Then because I was a new boy, you know, I was just chanting four rounds or something, four or five rounds. Then immediately gave me a big embrace and gave a pat. You know, he said, "Oh, no problem. You didn't do anything wrong. You did everything right," he told me. But I said, "Just now you said I should not have sent him." I was just joking. You are a wonderful devotee. You are a very wonderful devotee. He said, I asked, why am I wonderful? I asked, because you are truthful. You can't speak lies. So, at that time he was also brahmachari only. So you can see how he steadied his speech. So in case we find ourselves going to unsteady speech, what we should do? We should repair our speech. Return back to steadiness. So how many of you have observed yourself going to the platform of unsteady speech? Correct? Yeah. So we have to immediately bring ourselves back. And if we don't bring, many times we refuse to bring ourselves to steady speech. Why? Because we feel ego problem. Anyway, I am right, he is wrong. Correct? No? We are unable to come out of that. But if you are advancing in spiritual life, then we will be able to steady our speech. Oh, I spoke a little choirsly or improperly, like a metalist. It was not proper. Let me be more attentive and alert to what sound is coming out of my mouth. So in this way, we go from service done with the body, then to our words, and finally in the mind. Oh, that is, you know, Chakravarti Thakur says that takes long time to become steady in the mind. Chanchalam ki mana krishna pramati balavadridam, he says. Mind is extremely unsteady. Sometimes you can't know a person's mind. Externally he behaves very well. You know, he may be practicing also. You see him getting up in the morning and coming for the program, dancing with all devotees, wearing tilak. Suddenly one day he is absconding, gone. Just like the beams you have seen, termite is eating inside. Termite is eating, beam looks wonderful, holding everything, and suddenly one day it collapses. Because it is eaten up from inside. So therefore, what is in people's mind, only Krishna knows. It's very difficult for us to know about others. And it is not for judging others, it's for ourselves, it is said. You know, how is our mind? Mind always goes by likes and dislikes. One day mind is very enthusiastic, another day mind is very dry. And spiritual life could be boring and challenging. So mind goes through extremes, north pole to south pole, south pole to north pole, back and forth. So it takes time to steady the mind. Therefore, at least we should try to begin with bodily service steadiness and steadiness in our words. Yeah. So when is one's steadiness complete? Read the middle para, middle one.
And many devotees capable of sitting, apparently focused in japa or dancing in kirtan, will readily admit that their minds often wander. Therefore, steadiness in controlling the mind is most elusive.
That's what I was telling, isn't it? And the last pillow, he says, steadiness actually becomes complete when all the three, body, words and mind, are fixed in their spiritual functions. That means now our body should be fixed in service, and words should be fixed in mode of goodness type of speech, proper behavior, proper speech, and the mind should be manmanabhavamad bhakto. You know, you should be thinking, feeling, willing with complete absorption in Krishna consciousness. Then a person can be called a steady person. And therefore I told you, if our mind becomes steady, then the rounds will also, initially there will be increase in quality of rounds, which produces taste. And that tasty rounds impel you to increase quantity. Then quantity increases. So because we are not getting the tasty rounds done, therefore the quantity is not increasing. That means our mind has not yet become steady. Hence proved mathematically. Correct? No? Yeah. So in part 2, so the primary and secondary characteristic, read the top 2, Prabhu. 2 points.
Control of the gross and subtle senses is the primary characteristic of steady devotional service.
Yeah, that is actually the practice of devotional service. If one is, for example, one is worshipping the deities, one is absorbed in devotional activities, without, that means strictly involved. There are, like, you know, Sachinandan Prabhu here, Sri Sachinandan Prabhu. He was here when I came to Pune in 95. How kis saal mein aaya Prabhu? 89? 92 mein. 91 mein aaya. He came in 1991. So I have seen him from that time. I saw him from 95 when I came here. So I am just giving an example for a devotee who is doing steady service. He was always attracted to worshipping the deity. Very wonderful Brahmana devotee. Wearing his chadar and worshipping the deity here. And also he preached to a lot of congregation. 200-300 congregation regularly doing Sunday programs. Both his preaching and worshipping of the deity. And fixed up in devotional service. And he has a lot of taste for it. At one time, as well as Gopakrishna Maharaj came to Pune. And there were particularly 25 deities. People were welcoming. The home deities. Maharaj can't go to every home, no? So all the deities were brought here and there was abhishek done very nicely. And all the congregation took those deities to their homes. And now they are worshipping them now. So in this way, inspiring people to conduct ratyatras, inspiring people to worship the, do abhishek for the deities and worship the Lord at home and take to chanting and in this way steadily, and people feel very happy to see a brahmachari steadily going on for life enthusiastically, correct, no? People feel a lot of satisfaction to see, oh, here is a rock steady example they can follow and the teaching training is going on and one can go on like this. So in this way, the strict adherence to devotional service is actually the primary characteristic. And the secondary characteristic is Titikshava, Karunika, Surda Sarvadehina, Ajata Shatravashantaha Sadhava, Sadhubhushana. So that is the second characteristics, which is actually the Lakshanas that should manifest in the body of a devotee. Regarding this, we had an elaborate discussion last time. Below the underlined portion, you can read below, ultimately.
Ultimately, any devotee who is truly sincere and humble and who is steady in sadhana will soon be free of all rough edges and become an ideal person.
So two combinations are given here. He should be sincere and humble also, and he should also be steady in his sadhana also. So those who are steady in sadhana, they fulfill the primary characteristic very well. And those who are sincere and humble in behavior and dealings, they fulfill the secondary characteristics. So therefore, some people may be spiritually serious but immature in practical dealings. So we can call it as a purity and maturity. So we need which one? Both we need. Combination. But generally people of the world see what? Secondary. Maturity part. Hey, he's a mature devotee, he's a gentleman. Like some devotees even say, in my office, you know, that one of my colleagues is so humble, so gentle. He is taking care of his mother, father, brother, sister. He is so very attentive to send them, you know, WhatsApp messages on birthdays to all his friends. Because he is sufficiently bodily conscious to be, you know, to send everything. Because there are people who are materially highly responsible. Spiritual life may be big zero. You've seen that, no? There are people. So therefore we talked about it. But on the other hand, there are some people spiritually very fired up and very serious. But they are very careless about their speech, their behavior, their activities. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami told Haridas Thakur, some people preach well but do not behave well. But some people behave well but do not preach well. But Haridas, you preach so powerfully and you also behave so well. Therefore, you are the spiritual master of the whole world, he told them. So, achar or prachar, we have to work on both. In case you are doing already very good prachar, then work on achar. If somebody is very good in achar, but there are some devotees who may behave very nicely, they just give a smile and they speak very little. And they are very humble. They will always ask, oh, how can I serve you? How can I serve you? But they will not preach. Because if you tell them to say also, they may say one or two sentences. They don't know much also. So they can cultivate prachar. Correct, no? So achar and prachar, both should be combined, he says. And then read the middle one.
The essence of Bhakti Vinod's comment is that neophyte devotees must steadily increase their rounds to a minimum of 64. Although 3 times that number is recommended for those eager to quickly achieve perfection. Once devotees are committed to chanting a certain number of rounds, they must stick to their vow.
So Bhakti Vinod Thakur says this, that beginning steadiness I have told you till now. Then as you progress in that steadiness, that means you be in steady for a long time, for a period of time, before you can progress to Ruchi. That's where these things come. Then the number of rounds should increase. And it should not be just rounds. It should be quality, quantity rounds. Otherwise, how can one increase? or we can increase, because we may think in order to show that I am going from steadiness to ruchi, others are asking how many rounds I am doing, so let me make it 32. Can you know, is it possible to keep it for a long time? Just not possible. You only will eat items in the kitchen which you naturally are attracted to. Correct, no? Like sometimes when I am serving prasad in, you know, two-timer kitchen, suddenly I find half the people are missing. I ask why? Because there is uthappa or something there. In another kitchen, three-timer's kitchen. Huh? Correct, no? Because that attracts the people. Correct, no? Some special item is made. Huh? Correct, no? And the kitchen also knows, today many fellows will come there. They make more also. Correct, no? So in the same manner, if something is tasty, what it does? Attracts. So therefore, that attraction is the principle or the basis for increasing the rounds. You are unable to restrain yourself with just 16. You take the bedbag with you, going in the van to the station. You think, oh, let me chant some more rounds. It becomes like a, what do you call it? Addiction. So, our George Harrison was telling, once the plane in which he was there lost control. And there was another plane going. So this plane went in a wrong route. It was supposed to go like this. It lost control, some engine balance. So it went in another route. Another plane was also going little far away. And that plane was shocked. Why are these guys coming this side? And the gap between the two planes was only few feet only. So there was announcement made. We are very sorry to say that we are not sure whether we will land, or there may be a crash, may be prepared or something like that. So the two planes were just one below the other like that, with a few feet below. There was a possibility of both of them crashing and a big fire in the sky, and you can't count the bones also. So that time he chanted for 6 hours continuous. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He says that in his interview, Krishna only saved me. I was so strongly taking shelter. He was prepared for death that day. He says like that. So why I am giving you this example? Sometimes our spiritual intensity is increased by such dangerous situations in life. Other times we tend to become complacent. Correct, no? But a steady devotee doesn't become complacent. For example, if a steady devotee is chanting 32 rounds, for example, you know, fair weather or foul weather, what he will do? Keep the steadiness. He will chant, yeah. And if you are not able to chant agreed number of rounds, that means we are spiritually diseased. Like Prabhupada said that. If somebody is struggling to complete the 16 rounds, for example, I have 2 rounds left in the morning and it goes till night 11 o'clock because I have too many services. What does that indicate? Diseased. Spiritually diseased. The taste is so bad that for me, services are more priority than completing these 2 rounds. Correct, no? So, like people like Krishnanpu often say that unless you finish your rounds, don't put any prasad in the mouth. One devotee was shocked. My Lord, too serious this thing. He said, too serious policy. Of course, he has made this policy for himself. But the point is, one should know the importance of completing the promised number of rounds. And the basic, you know, standard is 16, at least. Then one can increase more. Yeah, that was the last one I showed last time. One amazing thing I learnt also here, that aparadhanam can continue, maybe up to, prior to nishtha, aparadhanam continues. But from nishtha onwards, he says here, you see, prior to steadiness, devotees can at best chant semblance of the name, which is namabhas. That means, you know, without namabhas, anarthana vritti cannot take place. Why? Because aparadhanam, namabhas, shuddhanam. In namabhas is the only clearing stage. Aparadhanam means no clearing stage. Because in aparadhanam, what happens? Like, it's like a lorry which has fallen upside down. You've seen Lonabala sometimes, big lorry. And even if you go inside the driver's cabin and press the accelerator, everything, it makes sound and the wheels are rotating, but there is no progress. So aparadhanam is like that only. Lot of you can chant and we are committing aparadhas. So progress is practically nil, very little, minimal progress. So then what to do? It is said, भूमौस्कलित पादानां भूमिरेवावलंबनम नाम जाता पराधानां तमेव शरणं प्रभु. वन अगेन टेक शेल्टर ऑफ द होली नेम, बट दिस टाइम विद एडिशनल एलिमेंट कॉल प्रेयर एंड रिपेंटेंस एंड पेनेंस एंड परसिस्टेंस एंड इंक्रीज्ड कमिटमेंट, इंक्रीज्ड सरेंडर, रिमोर्स फॉर द मिस्टेक्स वी हैव कमिटेड. सो इन दिस वे यू ऐड दैट टू द अपराधना, दैट लीड्स अस टू नामाभास. सो वेन वी कम टू द नामाभास देन द क्लियरिंग हैपन्स. नामाभास लाइक अ सिल्वरी क्लाउड. Aparadhana means dark cloud. You don't see any sun. Namabhas is silvery cloud. Shuddhanam is no cloud. You see only the sun. That is Shuddhanam. So, actually, right now we are, many of us may be in Bhajana Kriya or Anartha Nivritti. And we are trying to clear the anarthas, which we discussed. Then Namabhas. But then what happens? So, chanting mixed with offenses does not give the, that means we are shuffling between Aparadhanam, Namabhas. Little bit Namabhas, and again Aparadhanam, Aparadhanam, Aparadhanam. Namabhas, Aparadhanam, Aparadhanam. Like that. You know, little Namabhas. That means occasionally some of the mantras we have prayerful mood. Krishna, please kindly. I have seen people chanting, Hare Krishna. You know, how much I am struggling. And that is the time you go to Namabhas and come back. Isn't it? Namabhas is actually desperate prayer. Isn't it? At least sometime you feel desperation. Also, sometimes you see the enthusiasm of some devotee and in your heart you feel, I am very fallen. I am not so advanced. Look at the devotee, how enthusiastic he is. Again, Namabhas. Actually, Namabhas is a stage of utter humility, utter insignificance and dependence on the Lord, begging Him, praying to Him, falling on our hands and knees. So, it's a genuine feeling. That's Namabhas stage, actually. So, when such feelings, we all have experienced, such feelings arise frequently or occasionally. Occasionally. And that is the time our mantra is chanted with desperation. And we can't do drama of that. Because ultimately every one of us know, externally it's very easy to put glistening in the eyes. You know, you can have tears in the eyes, but actually we have to genuinely feel that. Then the Namabhas clears the anartha. So what happens is little anarthas are cleared, again we come to, like that he is saying. But chanting under expert guidance of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra nullifies the devotee's bad habits. Then they acquire full, firm faith and they become free of all offenses. Oh, when will that stage come? Kabe habe bolo se dina amar aparadha gucci shuddhana meruchi. Says, no? And then what is the next one? Hirdaya? Sanchar, yeah. Aparadha gucci shuddhana meruchi. When will my aparadhas go away? Kabe habe bolo. When will that day be mine? Our Sankarsana Adhikari Prabhu has sung a poem on that also. When will that day be mine? Like that. When will that day be mine? When all my offenses will stop to exist. And when the holy pure name will descend. Oh, when the pure name descends in the heart of a devotee, spiritual life will become colorful for the devotee. Wherever it turns around, Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. Every word, every thought, every deed will be adventure and thrill in spiritual life. Something very similar to what was the very early day new entry into the spiritual life when you felt that. That will be the situation for devotee who is chanting pure name. What happens in pure name? Pure name is actually called with love. Therefore, Krishna utterly gives himself to such a devotee. Krishna floods the heart of the devotee with his remembrance and pastimes. And his reciprocation and revelation, and with his sweetness and taste, all these things are revealed to the devotee. So then spiritual life becomes very, thrilling. Therefore, what happened to Bhattacharya when he got up in the morning? What he said? Krishna, Krishna, isn't it? So because of Mahaprabhu's mercy, he experienced the bhava for Krishna. When that bhava is experienced, one feels great joy. Then they acquire full, firm faith. Free of all offenses. Then the devotees are then fit to chant Krishna's pure name as they do, and they advance rapidly towards love of God, Krishna Prem. So in the part 3, I can go till 9:13 all right for you. 9:30 I will complete it. Yeah, please read it now. So this one is third part. Third part is what is the title?
Awakening of Taste.
Yeah. That means Ruchi. Now we are going ahead of Nishtha, although we have not yet reached. Nishtha. Like for example, if Nishtha is Lonavala, for example, then Lonavala to Bombay. We are talking about that. Now we are in Pune only now. We have not yet come to Lonavala also now. Not yet reached. But why are we talking about it? Because we will get inspired to proceed further. Therefore we are talking, yeah.
Bhakti Devi's gift of taste for neophyte devotees. Taste, like faith and love, is present to some degree at every stage of devotional service. Even neophyte Vaishnavas can attest to having had some wonderful experiences in the course of serving Krishna. Such taste is the mercy of Bhakti Devi, who nurtures devotees as they march toward Krishna by sprinkling them with a taste for the Lord's service.
Yeah, all of us have experienced. For example, one of the first thing that gives us a terrific taste in any is contemplation is prasadam. Everybody knows, isn't it? When you go to a temple, devotees give you. Even halwa was so attractive in those days. Of course, now you have seen more, you know, advanced sweets and all. Correct, no? In those days, you know, people would give you sweet rice. Then afterwards, when they gave you condensed milk, then you thought it is even better, isn't it? Then they gave you gulab jamun, then they gave you rasagulla. Different items. So prasadam is very attractive, a plate full of prasad. When people actually, when they go to the West, boys very openly say that. They say, we don't get good food anywhere when they come to ISKCON. Even our Steve Jobs, you know, he used to go to ISKCON temple to take prasad. And he spoke about it also, openly to everybody. Well, there is no need of being shy. It's a fact that, you know, prasadam is the easiest way to realize the form of Krishna. One of the forms of Krishna, most easily approachable and accessible for all living entities, for everybody. So that is the first taste. In fact, Prabhupada used to make a jar of gulab jamun called ISKCON bullets. So one devotee wrote a mail to me. He wrote to me that, you know, Prabhu, I used to distribute ISKCON bombs and I was always attracted to ISKCON bullets. But now I have stopped distributing bombs, I eat only bullets. He was telling, now I want to now again become serious in spiritual life. You know what is ISKCON bombs he was selling? Books, yeah. Prabhupada used to say that, drop these books in the lap of the conditioned souls and wake them up. Like that. So ISKCON bullets are gulab jamun. So Prabhupada would make a jar of that and keep it always. So even some of the inmates or residents of the ashram would like to leave. As soon as they would go up to the door, something will stop them. As if, you know, they are tied by a rope or something. They will say that, let me just pop one and then go. Put one. And then instead of going, they can take a U-turn and come back. They just couldn't leave the temple and go. So that's the first attraction. Strong. And then they would say, no problem, now let's go for Sankirtan. And some of them stayed like that. So that's the first attraction. And another attraction is the Kirtan and dancing is a very great taste-giving attraction, even for very new people also. They feel great satisfaction, you know, because the dancing gives the opportunity for you to express yourself, express your heart. What is big of devotees dancing? Even in the outside world, people say that, like in one of the stress management seminars, they made managers run from, they told you have to touch this wall and that wall 20 times. And all our big managers with coat, suit, boot, tie, everything, they're all running. And I will come first, I will come. Everybody is running back and forth. And then the stress management seminar presenter, he was telling, I wanted to bring the child out of you, he was telling. That was the goal of this, that is accomplished now. So, and all the managers afterwards said, actually, you know, in our school days, we were so innocent and simple. But now we become screwed up now, after becoming too many managers. We are too rigid, we have become like a stone. Now the seminar brought a child out of them. But they were just running meaninglessly, but we actually run meaningfully in dancing in Krishna's kirtan. Correct, no? Because we are running between Prabhupada and Krishna, Krishna and Prabhupada. You know, and we are calling Hare Krishna, going from Radha's lotus feet to Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna's lotus feet to Radharani's lotus feet, chanting the Mahamantra. Back and forth, we are actually becoming play toys in the hands of the Lord for His pleasure, isn't it? So, therefore, the prasad and also the dancing kirtan, when it is done with the proper mood of humility, and understanding of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda's movement, it can produce tremendous bliss for the devotee, because it is a kevala ananda kanda. Gau Nitai, they dance, and when Rupa Sanatan saw Lord Chaitanya and Ram Keli, they cried tears, they fell on the ground chanting this Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurat Vishayama. So they said, we have never seen a merciful moment like what you have given the world. Even people who are illiterates, papi tapi atachilo, Hariname Udarilo. Even the worst of the sinners, illiterates and low-born and all kinds of cow flesh eaters and you know drunkards can connect with this movement. If they could connect, what to speak of the best of the brahmanas? From top down, even this movement is rare for even the demigods. And for humans it is made easily available. So in this way, they glorified Mahaprabhu as the most munificent avatar. So the prasad and the Harinam Sankirtan, and then subsequently preaching. Like one Indian boy in America went to, you know, one of the ISV temple, San Jose temple. Indian boy, he heard about prasad event. So he took prasad. On that day, His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu was telling that now after prasad, all of us will go out for book distribution. He's a new boy. He's not even chanting one round. On that day, he distributed one Ishopanishad to a newcomer. Now, after coming back, he learnt about Mahamantra, chanting. He took a mala and he started chanting. This is the beauty of our movement. Even before you become a proper devotee, you get the thrill of service. And his name is announced. So-and-so Prabhu distributed one Ishopanishad. Hari Bol! So you get a lot of encouragement by Sankirtan. Isn't it? In this way, it is not that Ruchi means awakening taste, and that will only come after Nishtha. Then till then what? Will spiritual life be very dry? No. Bhakti is called Susukam Kartam Avyayam. Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam. Susukam Kartam Avyayam. The path of bhakti is a very sweet path, joyfully performed, and you get direct realization. Prabhupada saw this small little girl, Saraswati, you know, she would go out, you know, in the street, and whoever was passing by, she would catch and say, "Hey, do you know who is God?" And they would say, "I don't know, who is that?" "Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead," she would say. And then they would say, "Wow, the small child is, you know, saying such amazing things." And Prabhupada said, "Just see how Saraswati is preaching." So we are also like that only. Even though we may be neophytes, we are trying to preach. Like the three couples who were sent to London, they got a lot of preaching success. So from preaching success, you get taste. From prasadam, you get taste. You know, from kirtan and dancing, you get taste. And it is a very vibrant program in ISKCON temples. It is not a very boring program, like all day you... Like you see, when you go to certain, like Vipassana meditation and all, it is very austere. All day you have to fast, and night you eat a carrot at 8 o'clock, you know. And actually, their practice teaches that don't utter any names, don't think of any forms, and don't talk to anybody, and stay alone, and keep silent. Why they say all these things? By silence, for a prolonged period of time, you can dig and bring all the sanskaras to the surface and see what is there in your subconscious mind. To become observers of your subconscious mind. How many of you think it's a little sounding difficult? Correct? That is their path. Buddhists also do that. Fortunately, our path is a kevala. That's very joyful. So you get taste from, after how many years you start getting taste? Right from the time you start, it is taste only. Therefore, one reporter asked Prabhupada, "Swamiji, you people are all chanting Hare Krishna and living in temple and all. Do you take out some time for recreation?" Yes, Prabhupada said, "What do you think we are doing right now?" He said, "For a Krishna conscious devotee, everything is recreation. Early morning, dancing in front of Krishna is recreation, taking prasad is recreation, going out on Sankirtan is recreation, everything is recreation." Now, read the next one.
Neophyte devotees have little attraction to the Lord. To inspire them on the path to Krishna, Bhakti Devi gives them extraordinary taste for acts of bhakti, especially for kirtan and preaching.
Yeah. You see, the newborn child, you know, doesn't deserve much any big instruction. Correct, no? Especially after the age of 5, a child just deserves hugs and kisses by the parents. and other people also, correct? Now, small kids. Therefore, you will see, even if a 2.5-3-year-old child starts saying, you know, one or two words, parents exaggerated. You have seen that? Like once the parents brought a child who was just something like 1 year or 1.5 years, and the parents are offering obeisance to the child, said, Baba, he said, hey, my son is saying Prabhupada. You know, they were saying, Prabhupada is. Then I was wondering, really, did he say Prabhupada? Then when he came out also, he was saying, Baba, Baba. Everywhere he says only Baba only. But in front of Prabhupada's deity, what they felt, the child is saying? Prabhupada. So in this way they encourage the child. After he said Baba, he gets a big embrace, some very nice sweet or toffee or something to eat. You know. So you will find the newly arrived devotees in ISKCON also like darling of everybody. Somebody is giving him sweet rice, somebody is giving him Srikant, somebody is giving him Sonpapadi. Prabhuji, please take prasad, please take prasad. They become darling of everybody. So all devotees give them a lot of affection and love and care. So therefore he is saying that you get affection from devotees and also in kirtan and preaching and prasad everything. Next one.
Neophyte's thirst for service purifies and awakens devotees' attachment to Krishna. Yeah. New devotees tend to be selfish. They want nothing more than to enjoy the bliss of Krishna consciousness. Driven by a thirst for service, neophytes eagerly engage in the activities of pure devotion, which purify them and inevitably awaken in them attachment to Krishna. As they become free of unwanted habits, achieve steadiness, and finally acquire a deep taste, their attachment to Krishna becomes substantial. When it does, Bhakti Devi, like a faithful servant, withdraws from the forefront, and attachment to Krishna becomes the dominant sentiment. In short, Bhakti Devi purifies devotees, attracts them with the sweet taste of service, and teaches them to love Krishna. With this merciful support, the devotee's attachment for the Lord awakens.
Yeah. So from Adho Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartana Vritti, Nishtha and Ruchi, up to that we do Vaidhi Bhakti. Yeah. And then from once a person comes to a strong taste of Ruchi and the attachment comes, then the rules and regulations and everything which are there, one may just follow them externally, but those rules are not required to be applied on the devotee. For example, you don't have to take attendance for a devotee, whether he is coming for the morning, whether he is found in the Guru Puja, whether he is found in the Bhagavatam class, you know, and then you don't have to chase after devotee, but why you were not there, where did you go? Because actually, then for the devotee, because of attachment and love for Krishna, his performance of devotional service is not for the attendance. It is very natural, spontaneous it is. So, and not only the morning program, all like you, the devotee goes anywhere, any place, he acts on the platform of attachment to Krishna. Generally, we will find in our pre-nishtha stage, in certain situation, we will follow the norms. Then when certain, like for example, one devotee was asking me in the train, you know, so he was not getting up till 5:36. Then I asked this devotee, Prabhu, what about your chanting? He said, Prabhuji, what is the policy in the train? When you are going in the train? I said, you need a policy for, whether you get up in the morning, night, what time you slept? You slept at 9 o'clock. Then why should you sleep till 5? You know? Prabhuji, in the temple, we don't get enough sleep. You know, sometimes we have to catch up. So I said, 6 hours sleep is enough. So, therefore, your devotee doesn't need any policy for rising in the morning. Whether you are in train, you are in another temple, you are in same temple, you are going home, wherever you are, if you are acting on the platform of taste, will you ask the policy? No. That's the point he is saying that. When such attachment has come, the Bhakti Devi who was escorting the devotee through the items like Navavidha Bhakti or 64 items of devotional service, you know, doing all these things, now she is satisfied that the person has come to the platform of attachment. Now he is pagal after Krishna. He is mad after Krishna now. Now she takes a back seat now. Because now, just like in priming, you know priming? Priming means, you know, the water is not rising. Although the motor is giving sound. Sound is coming. And you see, not a drop of water is going up in the tank. Why? What is the problem? Because there is an air gap. Our anarthas are like that, air gap. Because of the air gap, we are not able to. So you take a mug of water and put it inside. And then put one more mug, maybe two, three mugs you put. Then immediately the water connects and the air gap is finished. Gubuk, like that water will come. Then it starts continuously going up. That water goes. You have seen that? Any of you have done priming here? Anybody? Oh, you all know it, yeah. So now water is continuously going now. Now is any more priming required? You have to keep putting mug again and again? No. Only two, three mugs. It's not that by your putting only it goes. Earlier by your putting gave that initial push. After that the gap is finished, it will continuously come. Same thing Guru does with the disciple also. Yeah, Guru in the beginning has to invest a lot in the disciple. And once he has activated his Krishna consciousness to the stage of Nishtha and Asakti, then Guru is completely happy and satisfied. Just like what happened to Nimai Pandit. When he went to Gaya, when he met his Guru and took initiation. Earlier he was a Tarkika Shiromani. Now after meeting Guru and taking Diksha, what happened to him? He became like a Goloka haunted man. Constantly asking, oh Krishna, where are you? He went to Kanayanachala searching after Krishna, correct, no? So once he has come to that stage, he asked also, Kiba Mantra Diva Gosai, Kiba Tarabal, he said, Japite Japite Hoila Pagal, he says, no? So and the Guru is very satisfied. Oh, now he has become mad after Krishna. This is the perfection of human form of life. Then after that, the devotee, you don't, just like in a climbing a coconut tree also, you may just push a person's buttocks in the beginning, you know, when you tie a rope to the leg. Do you keep on going behind him till the top? No, just give him one push and then he starts catching and going up. So that is the difference between Vaidhi and Raganuga. In Vaidhi, some push is required. Some order is required. Some fear principle is required. But once a person goes, practices Vaidhi and comes to this type of ruchi, taste level, after that he just goes on and on and on. Never gives up. And you know, there is no turning back after that. Yes, go ahead. You read this, no? It's over. You read the whole thing, no? Yeah. So Bhakti Devi purifies devotee, attracts them with sweet taste of service and teaches them love for Krishna. And then she withdraws and then attachment drives us after that. Yeah. Yes.
Two functions of taste in stages prior to steady devotion. The taste relished in the stages prior to steady
devotion. See, there are two. One is a taste before Nishtha. Another is a taste after Nishtha. Which is called Ruchi generally? After Nishtha. That is called a Ruchi stage, we call it. But it is not that you have no Ruchi before Nishtha. You have some small droplets of Ruchi before. So about that, he says there are two functions of that type of taste before the stage of Nishtaya. Yes.
First, it fortifies faith and intelligence, enabling devotees to resist temptation.
This is one symptom we have to observe in ourselves also. We have to check. Am I able to resist temptation? Is my faith and all items like Hari, Guru, Vaishnavas, Shastras, the deities, the holy name in general, all of this faith should increase. Therefore, we do the faith and doubt, you know, workshop we do. And also, is my intelligence becoming stouter and stronger? That means study of the Shastra is very nourishing to the soul, very fulfilling to the soul. We will become very touched by the scriptural wisdom. We don't just read it for the sake of theoretically getting some information and downloading it. It's not like a computer. It copies from one place to another. It's not like that. You read the Shastra with relish and absorption, and then you take it to your heart, and then you meditate on it, contemplate on it, and then you see how it applies to your life. And then that gives you actual, like after eating prasad, how you feel satisfaction. Like that we feel satisfaction after reading the scriptures. So that is the first symptom. Yeah, second?
Second, it destroys ignorance, the root cause of material affection.
Yeah, one more thing in the first point. Resist temptation means not that after coming to Nishtha also keep on falling again and again. There is no question of falling. Prior to Nishtha in Anathanurthi stage, we try to become steady, we fall. Again, try to become steady, we fall. Like that. Whereas one has come to Nishtha, the temptations eventually will go far, far away. And he is feeling taste in the form of faith and intelligence. And the second is, it destroys avidya, the root cause of all material attachments. So avidya, asmita, raga, dvesha, abhinivesh. So the root only is completely uprooted. By the time you come to nishtha stage, yeah, yes.
Krishna describes the first function.
Vishayavini vartante, everybody together. Ehinaha rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtvani vartate.
The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But seizing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness.
Yeah. It's not that the world vasanas have gone away. They may be there because the Yekadeshavartani, Bahudeshavartani, Prayaki, Atyantiki, Purna, you know, by the time it happens, up to asakti stage, some of these anarthas go. But after the nishtha stage and then before the nishtha stage also, when those anarthas are there, they don't pose a serious obstacle for the devotee in progressing. Understand, as we go to higher and higher stages. Obstacles are there, you recognize them, but your higher taste changes your focus. Like for example, you have a lower taste also, but the higher taste takes away all your energy, time, absorption, because of which the lower taste doesn't trouble you. But then when you go to ruchi and ishta, I mean ruchi and asakti and all, even the lower thing completely goes away. Whereas in the stage prior to nishtha, the lower ones are there, but your guard is running because of some param drishtva. That means you can understand, if you become slack in spiritual life, what will happen? When spiritual taste becomes slack, what happens? Very dangerous. You naturally will opt for, you know, flip-flop switch? So if it is not connected here, what happens? Here. Correct, no? So that means, you know, beyond nishtha, you don't have to worry because you are led by Krishna very nicely. The attachment leads you, attachment to Krishna. Whereas prior to nishtha, we have to take care that we keep our mind, intelligence, senses, everything absorbed in the Lord. If we don't do that, the alternative option is maya. Like that he's saying, yes.
Two functions of taste in stages prior to study devotion.
This is the second function.
Srila Rupa Goswami describes the second function, the ability to destroy material affection.
Syat Krishna nama charita disidapya vidyabhito pataptarasanasya narochikanu kintpadarat anudinam khalusai vajushta svadvi kramat bhavati tadgatamula hantri.
The holy name, character, pastimes and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted with the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root.
Moolahantri, it says, avidya is uprooted completely. How? By chanting the Madhura Naam. The naam is actually madhur, but right now it's kadva because of pitta upatapta rasanasya. The tongue is afflicted by jaundice. So as we keep drinking sugarcane juice, jaundice will go away. Similarly, the taste will increase. So two things happen in the second function. Taste for holy name increases, and our material attachments which are produced because of avidya, that is, prema bhakti yaha hoite avidya, that's the second one. First one is param drishtva nivartate, and second one is prema bhakti yaha hoite avidya vinashajate. Yeah.
Lord Krishna
heading.
Superior spiritual taste enables devotee to endure the urge for sense enjoyment without succumbing. Lord Krishna explains that spiritual taste gives a superior pleasure, param drishtva, that purifies the devotee's vision and enables them to endure the urge for sense enjoyment without succumbing to it. When properly absorbed in unsteady service, devotees experience the wonderful taste inherent in the limbs of devotion. This taste fixes the consciousness. When such absorption recedes, as it typically does in unsteady devotional service, so does the devotee's spiritual taste. In fact, under the strong influence of the modes, the taste may even become bitter.
That means, when sometimes we are very spiritually absorbed, but sometimes due to our late nights or irregular schedules or too many services or sometimes, our spiritual absorption withdraws a little bit. So when it withdraws, then taste also withdraws. And when the taste is withdrawn, then the temptations increases. You understand, no? And when temptations increase, we get dragged and pulled by lower modes, namely Rajaguna and Tamaguna. And then we struggle in our unsteady state, like that is saying. On the other hand, those devotees, even in unsteady state, when you have not yet come to Nishtha stage, when we are struggling, if you make our life very regulated, and the regulated is almost like steady platform, correct, Nishtha platform. So we regulate our life based on the order of a superior, we follow very faithfully, then we feel wonderful taste in the devotional activities. And that taste which we receive fixes our consciousness. But later on, once you come to Nishtha stage, this unsteadiness will go away. Then regulation becomes natural for us after Nishtha stage. But till Nishtha stage, we are regulated, unregulated, regulated, unregulated. We are like a pendulum. We keep going like that. And last one.
Rupa Goswami responds to this extreme situation with the comforting words in the above cited verse. He says that devotees with purified intelligence who faithfully and patiently execute their sadhana will again taste nectar and eventually rise to the stage of perpetual relish.
So this is the secret actually. Kintu adarat anudinam kalusaiva joshta. This is the secret. Adarat means with great respect, and actually the word adar has multiple meanings. One of the things is with respect we should receive the holy name. And another thing, steadily, in a regulated way, patiently, with enthusiasm, without compromise, and having faith in Krishna, Guru and Shastras, one should progress. Then one will get perpetual relish. Yeah.
What does spiritual taste do before and after steadiness? Rupa Goswami's example of curing jaundice by regularly consuming sugar candy is most appropriate. Sweet things taste bitter to a jaundiced person, but sugar is the cure for jaundice. Similarly, Krishna's sweet names taste bitter to a conditioned soul, but chanting of Lord's names is the only cure for the material malady.
Although we may refuse to chant more rounds, that itself is a cure, it's a medicine. And one can take, actually there are certain medicines, Ayurvedic medicines, the doctor says if you can take more, please take more. If you can't, then you can slowly increase the dose, they say like that. So here, this is such a medicine that if you can take more and more sugarcane juice for during the jaundice, now you will say, I like it very much, giving more and more. But in jaundice time, taking sugarcane juice is very difficult. I had jaundice for 2-3 months in my college days. I know how bitter it would be. It will be like drinking Kerala juice. But then once jaundice is gone, then the real taste returns. Yeah. Yes. Second part.
Even if chanting at first tastes bitter, devotees must continue to chant. By the curative effect of the holy name, devotees will gradually taste its natural sweetness. When they are cured of their ignorance, they will savour the holy name's nectarian sweetness in full. Before the state of steadiness, spiritual taste passively holds material attachment at bay. After steady devotion, this taste matures and becomes proactive. Its perpetual sweetness then nourishes attachment for devotional service and for the object of devotion, Shri Krishna.
You understand, no? Till then, it's like you are keeping an animal under control. Like imagine you tie a monkey's hands, legs. Hey, don't make noise. You cover his mouth also. Like that up to the Nishtha stage. But after the Nishtha stage, when Ruchi comes, then naturally one is attracted to Navida Bhakti as well as to Sri Krishna also. Yeah, I think last one. Oh, sorry. Okay, read it. Let us see.
Attachment.
Now I have explained many of them. You just will read and complete it.
Yeah. Attachment to devotional practices and to Krishna. Before devotees attain the long awaited release from the material energy, there are two final stages of devotion in practice. Taste, ruchi, and attachment is asakti. In truth, these two are divisions of the same stage of devotion, namely attachment. But Rupa Goswami makes...
Why he is saying same? In the ruchi stage, your attraction is for devotional activities. In asakti stage, your attraction to the personality of Sri Krishna. That's the main difference. So for the ruchi, the focus is you love to engage in varieties of devotional service for the pleasure of the Lord. So Lord is the like deity form of the Lord. You engage in the dressing the deity, you know, cooking for the deity, putting a festival for the deity. So your whole attention is on that. I want to serve. It is a ruchi stage. And asakti stage, the person in Krishna only becomes attractive. His name, his qualities, his form, his pastimes, they dominate the mind and heart of the devotee in asakti stage. You know, understand the difference, no? So that's what he will say in the next two. In the first, distinguishing feature is the taste for the attachment to practices of devotion, like chanting, hearing, and then activities of sadhana and all. In second phase, devotee's attachment to Krishna supersedes attraction to anything else. And this transformation, like all advancement in Krishna consciousness, takes place by Bhakti Devi's mercy. So that means taste and attachment. Attachment is to Krishna's form and taste is for devotional service. Is that clear to everybody? Yeah, last slide. Should a devotee do seva of his taste or as per authority? Yeah.
At ruchi, the attachment for devotional practices is so great that attraction for anything material dwindles to insignificance. In this way, devotees' attraction to Krishna consciousness naturally curtails their attraction for the enjoyments found in the material world.
Hari bol. Good news for us, no? Isn't it? No more attraction to dhanam janam sundarim. Once a person has come to the ruchi stage. Yes.
Sometimes devotees argue that they as well as others should only take up devotional practices and services for which they have a liking. To do otherwise, they say, would be to deny the natural inclination of the heart, in effect making Krishna consciousness a forced practice. Is this point valid?
You understand the question, na? People say that, Prabhu, if you are told to do a service which you don't like, then you cannot enjoy the devotional service, then that will make it boring, people say. But actually, he is going to give the answer, yeah.
Spiritual life is founded on the principle that devotional service must always be performed under an authority's guidance. Such authority should be infallible, a paurusheya, free from the four defects of conditioned life, the tendency to commit mistakes, brahma, to be illusioned, pramada, to cheat others, vipralipsa, and to be limited by imperfect senses, karna patava. However, if conditioned souls make their inclination for service, which may or may not be a forerunner of taste, their authority, they are not above these defects. Only liberated souls whose taste comes from ecstatic devotion, the infallible platform, are free from such faults. Therefore, practicing devotees should not allow taste alone to determine their service. The infallible authority of scripture, saints and gurus should always confirm their direction.
Yeah, what he is saying is, we all have four defects. But if we choose a service of our liking, which is inflating our false ego, then the result would be what? In the long run, we will go away. We will not stick on. On the other hand, like Dasharathi was told by Ramanuja that you should wash pots. And then later on he allowed him to preach. Although he had ability to preach before. That's the point he is saying, that because we all should be humble enough to know that I have four defects, it is better for me to do what the service is given by authority. That's what he is saying. So this point will be elaborated more in the next part, which will be the last part in the series. What is the series called as? Steadiness to Taste. So next class, next Saturday it will get over. This series will get over. So there this will be clarified more. If you have any questions, you can hold it till then. Then it will be answered there. More elaboration of this, okay? Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much.